Would you give your mum, dad, aunt or that uncle who hugged your partner a little too long free access to your phone?
Oh, no!
Oh, my God, it's a really long video. Ew!
In Dave's brand new YouTube original, Get Off My Phone, we've got six comedians to give their phones over to a relative with total freedom to read messages, DMs, photos and browser history.
Where's your search history?
Sorry?
What to do, tips for relief.
The rules are simple. Their relative can read anything they want and even make calls from the comedian's phone.
What is this?
What is... I don't want this one.
That looks really bad.
Starring Tanya Moore, Anya Magliano, Finlay Christie, Travis J with his mum Angie Lamar, Hayley Morris, Grace Campbell and dad Alistair Campbell.
Slightly sexually compromising
people. Divulging their deepest digital secrets.
What the hell is happening?
Get Off My Phone, a Dave YouTube original. Available now on Dave's YouTube channel.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello and welcome to Conversations Against Living Miserably, a podcast where we try to find solace in a world where our brains are usually against us.
My name is Aaron Gillis and each week I'll be joined by...
me, Lauren Patterson. Each week we chat to a different guest about how they try and live their life without misery, but we try and do it with a little bit of laughter because otherwise that sounds like a pretty gloomy idea for a podcast.
This podcast is brought to you in partnership with Dave, the TV channel, and Calm, the campaign against living miserably.
Morning, and welcome to episode 13 of Conversations Against Living Miserably, a comedy podcast that gets funny people to talk about how miserable everything is. Yep, that's the selling point, and I am sticking with it. This week's guest is Jess Robinson. Jess is a comedian, actress, singer, and impressionist. Her new show, The Jess Robinson Experience, will be at this year's Edinburgh Fringe Festival. And this week we speak to Jess about loneliness, depression soundtracks, and Liza Minnelli. Yep, those are first time I think those three things have been ever clumped together. As usual, if you could like and review this weird little podcast, it really helps us get into more people's ears. The more people that listen, the more money that goes to Calm. But, I mean, if you're 13 episodes in at this point, you've probably got that, haven't you? I don't need to say it all the time, but I'm gonna. Going to anyway. Anyway, that's quite enough of me. Here is Lauren and myself talking to Jess Robinson.
Hello, Jess.
Hello.
Our first question is always the same.
Right.
And it can cause an existential crisis, which we apologise. Oh, but when was the last time you felt calm?
Yesterday,
actually. Oh,
good. It was Monday yesterday, mm-hmm. which is the comedian's day off, right?
Yeah.
So I was doing my emails and my friend said, no, you said you were going to have a day off. So I closed my laptop and we went down to Brighton Beach and just sat there. We just sat there, no going on the phone, no looking on Twitter, just looking at the sea, and the sun was shining and I've burnt my Jewish nose a little bit. And it was just lovely.
Yeah.
It's, I never, ever, ever take time out to just sit and just enjoy being. Sounds so wanky, doesn't it? But
I think you're allowed to be wanky when you don't do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're allowed to enjoy it.
A little treat.
Yeah, that does sound lovely.
Everyone needs a wank. no, it's just like every time I pick my phone up, my thumb just knows to go on Twitter or Instagram or, you know, and all of that is so bad for mental health, I think.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
There's something calming about a beach, isn't there?
Oh, my gosh.
Lovely and calming.
Just watching the sea go in and out like it's breathing and the sun always making it all sparkly and, lovely.
I'm one of those people that can find the negative in everything, and I now don't really like beaches because last time on our honeymoon, my wife got chased by a crab for a good 20 metres. It was the funniest thing I've ever seen. This crab was really small. It was about the size of like an iPhone, but it just made a beeline for it, and it was so ferocious.
She was very beautiful.
I swear it was running straight on as well. That's how angry it was. But I'm just, Sorry, I don't know where that story came from.
Where was that?
That was in the Seychelles.
Lovely.
Like, yeah, I know.
Can't be that negative, then.
Oh, no, not at all.
It was probably just jealous you were on a honeymoon.
Yeah. We're having a nice time. Angry crab.
It's like the Susan Coleman. Was it the anxiety crab? Mm. Maybe that's what it was.
Oh, that's
it followed
true.
You on your holiday.
Yep. So you've spoken openly about mental health in your shows and in kind of national newspapers as well. And you always say that...
God, I was having a right old breakdown. And on the Comedian's Comedian podcast.
With Stu Goldsmith, who we've interviewed on this podcast.
Oh, good.
Yeah, he's absolutely lovely.
He's a lovely man.
And you always kind of talk about how you like to use humour with it as well. How do you find that kind of equating humour and mental health helps you?
Oh, God, yeah. It's a sort of a gallows humour sort of thing, isn't it? I come from a family that does speak very openly about how you're feeling. We're all Jewish, you know, everyone's got something going on, everyone's a bit dramatic. There's always been a pattern of if I'm feeling sad, then I will eat, which is also not the right way to deal with things, although it does make things better in the short term. Just then it makes you really depressed when you can't put your trousers on, isn't it? But, yeah, it's so important to be able to see the funny side for me. Like, I remember... My friend and I kill ourselves laughing about it now, but one of the memories of when I really realised that I was properly depressed and, like, properly suffering with it was when my friend, my flatmate, found me in my bedroom naked with my head in the cupboard just crying, going, I don't know what to wear. And I just, like, the simplest thing, and I'd had an absolute meltdown.
Yep.
And that is so pathetic. Like, I couldn't even dress myself. It was too much. And yeah, so, you know, you've got to laugh about those things. But at the time, I was just like, fuck, I think I need some help.
First, what do I wear?
Yeah.
Second, where is the GP?
Yeah, absolutely.
It is bonkers, though, isn't it? Like, those little moments that take you to that level of completely the other end of it.
Yeah.
Mine was, I had a panic attack because I dropped my wife's My Little Pony mug. I like to stress that it wasn't my Little Pony mug because that gives it all sorts of different connotations in 2K19. But yeah, I dropped it on the floor in the kitchen and it smashed. And I just thought, this is the end of the world. This is like the best thing we've ever owned. Mm-hmm. It's not. It's a piece of crap that neither of us use. And I just kind of, my whole brain just kind of folded in itself.
Oh,
and
no.
I had a massive panic attack and I was on the floor. I honestly thought I was having a heart attack for the first 5 minutes because I didn't know what the hell was going on. But then those little moments just really trigger something huge.
And what had led up to that with you?
Oh, for me, it was just deflection. It was like loads of stuff building and building and building inside of me, and that one little outlet happened. And I just
sent it all.
It just felt like a switch went, and like the floodgates opened, and my body just went, no, can't handle this.
Yeah.
What did your friend say to you when she found you naked in half in a cupboard?
She laughed at me. She called her girlfriend to come and look, and then they were absolutely lovely and just very soothing and you know, a cup of tea, wrap me in a blanket. I think actually it happened in the other way around. I just think it's really hard to open up and talk about your feelings. So if you have to use humour to sort of deflect it a little bit, or, you know, to say, oh, I'm such a wanker. If that's the way you can open up and talk about it by making people laugh and laugh in recognition and go, oh yeah, actually I'm like that sometimes too. I just think it's really a brilliant tool, isn't it, to be able to open up and talk about stuff.
Yeah. Does it help
without
you
getting
as well?
Too heavy?
Yeah. Does it help you kind of realise your kind of mental issues as well? Because for me, I write about it, but I always write in a funny tone about it because for me, it makes it seem smaller and I can deal with it if I'm laughing at it.
That's right.
And is that how you feel as well?
Yeah, absolutely. It's like, I don't know if you're a Harry Potter fan.
Mm-hmm. Obviously, yes.
It's like a boggart.
Yeah. Oh, I like that. That's good.
Isn't it? Yeah. Like your worst fear, but then if you make it funny, you can laugh about it and it's not so scary.
Yeah, I think part of sort of, I don't know if this is true for everyone, but I think for a lot of people, part of the fear of opening up is people are going to laugh at me. People are going to laugh at me because this isn't serious. So if you can articulate how you're feeling in a way where laughter is the response, it's like, well, then I don't feel bad that people are laughing because they're laughing in a good way rather than, you're an idiot, you shouldn't feel like that.
And you just think people are going to think less of you or think you're a weirdo or sneer at you, but everyone's got their own shit, haven't they?
Everyone's got their head in a wardrobe story.
Yeah.
Yeah. Beautiful way of putting it. Yeah. Absolutely.
We tried to explain it. My nephew's quite anxious. And I think that's a good thing about being so... I can recognise that in him now. And I'm like, oh, you're quite an anxious boy. So me and my mum have tried to explain it to him. We're like, everybody has wobbles. Everybody gets upset. And he's like, even you, Nana. I mean, Nana. My mum's like, yeah, even me. And he's like, even Auntie Lauren. And my mum's like, especially Auntie Lauren. Yeah. Oh, she is a constant wobble. And his little face was like, you could see that for him as a seven-year-old just to be like, oh, everyone wobbles. And I think the earlier you get that across, the better.
Yeah.
We're all wobbly.
It's just finding your own way to deal with it, isn't it?
Totally. Mm.
What kind of ways have you learned to really helps you deal with it? Is it you
talking
your work?
Helpful. Talking is the most helpful. There is music, certain singers or certain songs that really lift me and just help me sort of takes me out of myself. If I can't sleep at night, I will listen to Stephen Fry reading Harry Potter. I just find that really comforting and lulls me. Having a cuddle with someone. I've got a little WhatsApp group with a couple other female comedians and we call it Lady Cunt Therapy. And we just... you know, any time something is shit or something's good, it's just nice to have a little text, a little group. Just to go, guys, I'm feeling shit today. What should I do about this?
How long have you had that group for?
About 3 years now, actually.
Amazing.
Yeah.
It's amazing, isn't it? I really do think that kind of just having someone at the end of a message or at the end of a phone line really, just that comfort of knowing they're there and they will respond is so important.
Yeah. Yeah. I think if I was in a proper crisis and I text them, or I'm very lucky, I think a few of my friends, I can probably count my closest friends on one hand, but if I said, please help me, they would straight away, just as I would to them. It's really important to have those mates around you where you feel you can do that. Loneliness is a really big factor of feeling depressed and isolated, isn't it? But I think a lot of the time the loneliness is maybe in your head a bit more because you just think no one will care and you think no one will understand. Mm-hmm. But actually, again, everyone's got their head in a wardrobe somewhere.
What would be your top three songs on like a playlist? When you're on about music. So you're like, if you had 15 minutes and you're like, right, I feel shit, so I'm going to put my little power playlist on, what three songs would pull you back up?
Right, you have to answer that question as well.
Okay.
Yeah, because that's one of those questions where it's quite easy to ask it, but actually thinking of an answer.
Yeah,
I'm just going through my Spotify playlist in my head.
I feel like I know the first one straight up.
What would yours be?
Greatest Showman, This Is Me.
Oh,
that's a proper...
Yeah, that's a good one.
That's a good one. And then I think I'd go for like something a bit maybe like indie rocky, like Autumn Monkeys on Rock, but you know, something that reminds us of being young and a bit like carefree.
Nice.
And I would go for probably Little Mix, Shout Out to My Ex, because that is a song that I used to walk out, leave the stage to during my Edinburgh show about like a breakup. And so that song originally was like a really like, it makes me think of my ex, but now it makes me think of achievements and accomplishments.
Oh, nice.
I'd put, you need a show tune, you need a pop anthem, and you need something angsty. That's how to fix depression, listeners.
Done. Podcast over. Solved.
I think I would have to have Hotel California.
Ooh, good one.
I just love that. It has to be really loud as well, so it's completely all-consuming and it's like the music is in your head. You'd probably have to have a Kate Bush as well.
Ooh.
Actually,
ooh, which one?
I might go for Wuthering Heights. Yeah. Just because you can't stop doing the dancing. Physical exercise is very good for depression, isn't it? And number three, oh, maybe I'll have Shut Your Fucking Face, Uncle Fucker from South Park.
That's a good one.
Because it's just the little break in the middle where they're doing like the tap farty dance.
Yeah.
It's so inane and awful, isn't it? God, people are going to think my music choices are so weird.
Oh, no, don't worry.
I promise. It's not just the 70s.
Oh, dear. I think mine's going to sound terrible in comparison.
No.
Life on Mars by Bowie.
Fabulous. Yeah. How can that be bad?
Okay, the next one's weird. Wait and Bleed by Slipknot. Because that reminds me of being a weird little goth emo boy. And I used to kind of get into like the one terrible club we had in my hometown when I was 16. And used to mosh with my long hair and grubby little attitude.
Yeah.
And then, are we going show tunes? Both of you have picked the musical. Is that South
I
Park?
Have done South Park the musical. If it wasn't that, I would have done Cornflake Girl by Tori Amos.
Ooh. Oh.
But go on.
Maybe Landslide by Fleetwood Mac.
Oh,
they're
great.
Yeah.
It's all good.
Yeah. Okay.
All legit.
We should start a playlist. That's what a new question every guest has to add to the playlist.
Yeah. Done. Yeah.
If you had to have a show tune, what would it be?
I Am What I Am from the Cage Fall.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
This is absolute great.
Banger.
I can just imagine you all sassy.
Oh, I can do that one in karaoke. I am so good at that one. What was the response like when you first started talking openly about your mental health?
I was amazed, actually, on Stu Goldsmith's podcast. I got lots of lovely messages of just people just speaking out and saying, oh, I'd love to give her a hug. It wasn't supposed to be creepy, but that sounded creepy, didn't it?
I just want to
tell Jess everything's going to be okay. It was just, it was sort of sympathetic and empathetic and very, very positive. I've got a mate called Joe Tresini. He speaks very much about mental health, and since he has started talking about it, he's got so many followers on Twitter and so much support, just because it's really unusual, I think, for people to just be really open and talk about that. So this is such an important thing that you guys are doing. I'm so pleased. I'm so pleased.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive and June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive and June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I feel like it's like opening the loft. It's like, oh, no one goes in the loft. No, we don't use the loft. And then when you open the loft, it's like, oh, everyone wants to go in the loft. Like, there's a lot. There's actually a lot going on up there. And, oh, let's all get in there and have could convert this into a fantastic space.
But it is. It's just like, it's a part of your brain that you just try and ignore as much as you possibly can.
Mm-hmm.
And especially when it kind of comes to comedy and the arts and stuff, there's such a wealth of, be it fuck-ups or silly stories or stupid things that are so relatable that we have steered away from because we don't want people to think, oh, you're weird or you're bonkers or anything like that. The moment you start going into that, so many other people just go, oh, I've been in that exact same position, or that relates to me in this way. And that way of sharing stories is so important. And it doesn't matter, like, who you are, what kind of stature you have in life or anything like that. You have stories and you should be able to feel that, like, you can share them, because so many people are going to be able to relate to everything. Well, not everything you say, because obviously mental health problems are individualistic and so is recovery, but everyone knowing that other people are out there that feel the same or have been in that low or have been in a similar situation, it's just so wonderful to hear a silly story about someone fucking it up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because my one is, I'm a big yes person. I'll agree to anything because my anxieties don't let me say no. Because I don't like to let people down.
No.
Because then I'm a failure and we go into this whole thing. Yeah. My therapist loves going into that. And I was sat on a night bus going from Trafalgar Square to Camden at about 3 o'clock in the morning. I just finished work. And this old man sat down next to me with a 2 litre milk carton filled with something grey, and I was like, this isn't good. And he started drinking it, and it smelt a bit like Malibu and bleach.
Oh,
and, he was just like, he looked at me and went, would you like some? And I said yes. And I couldn't actually physically make myself say no to anyone, and I took a sip, and it was,
what was it?
I think it was vodka, milk, Malibu and Kahlua.
Jesus Christ.
Ooh, that like Russian.
Yeah, but from a strange man on the bus, and you're just drinking bus milk.
I've done something similar. That's horrible. Yeah. Bus milk.
That's when you know you need help.
It's,
when you're drinking bus milk.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
It's really reckless.
It is.
I did that. I was about 19 or something, and I was at a station, and there were bigger boys there. And they said, do you want some of this? And it was like a spliffy thing. And
a spliffy thing.
A spliffy thing. I didn't really know about drugs. And I had some, and God knows what else was in it. Uh-huh. I mean, it wasn't normal. Mm. I, on the train from Hither Green to London Bridge, my head felt like a balloon. It was sort of all bobbing back and forwards, and I thought it might leave my body. And then I was sick in the lift at Hampstead when I got there. It was really quite a low point.
Yeah.
But it all goes back to, like, low self-esteem and low self-confidence, which are all kind of symptoms or early indicators of something being wrong later on.
Yeah.
That's definitely where mine came from anyway.
I think mine came from, that and recklessness and, oh, fuck it, who gives a shit? Yeah. Or, I'm sure it'll be fine.
A bit of self-sabotage never hurt
anyone. Absolutely, yeah. I'm a massive people pleaser.
Yeah,
same.
I call it a people's penis. But just, I mean, it really, that causes so much anxiety, because then you end up doing things or saying things or, you know, being in situations that you really just don't really sit well with your gut at all. And
would you rather look after someone else than look after yourself?
Yeah, I do like a project. If I've got a friend in need, I love to really properly get in there and try and help sort them out rather than just sitting down going, right, Jess, you've got loads to do. You really need to look after yourself. Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
It's quite interesting that, like, a lot of people that we speak to say that as well, just kind of like it, because it's deflection, isn't it? It's easier to look after someone else than it is to look after yourself.
Oh, it's so easy to look at someone else's life and go, well, if you did that and that and that, I'm sure you'd be happy.
Yeah.
And it's not as easy as that,
it's
is
like
it?
It's like Queer Eye for the depressed guy.
Oh, my God.
Come in.
Can we do it?
Yeah, like, let's do it.
One.
Us three idiots turn up.
Get in the shower. Two.
We'd all end up crying in the shower.
Yeah, exactly. They've been useless for only 5 minutes. Flooded the bathroom. When did you first discover your love for singing, comedy and impressions? And has it been an outlet for you in harder times?
Yes. I sung from a really, really early age. My family are all musicians and artists and all very, very lovely, very open, very poor. So music was a massive, massive part of my life. Also, taking the piss out of my mum was a big part of my life, because she was a teacher at my school and I had to be the first to take the mickey before anybody else could.
Of course, yeah.
So I started imitating her, which then ended up imitating other teachers and stuff. And the feeling that I got from getting a laugh, as well as, you know, people being impressed with my singing and stuff, but getting a laugh was just the most fabulous feeling. So being able to combine those and be naughty about teachers and stuff... I guess it all sort of mushed together, and now I take the mickey out of celebrities and politicians and sing like Beyonce and Nicki Minaj and Judy Garland and, yeah.
The big three.
Oh, yeah. It's great. And it's really fun to use some of those incredible anthems to lift other people up. I really like my shows to be a proper sort of feel-good antidote to anything depressing, to Brexit, to any of that awful shit going on. I just want people to come in into a safe, fun bubble and have a lovely, fun time.
Yeah.
I won't talk about anything serious at all in my show. I won't.
It's amazing.
So it's all about when I went to record a club when I was 16 and did my first blowjob on a guy and I thought I had to blow
on it.
The recorder club was called Oh Blow It as well. I know. So I literally blew on it, this guy. Yeah, it's great. It's good fun.
Amazing.
Is there any, like, characters or people that... Say if you are feeling a bit anxious or a bit down that you don't like to impersonate.
Oh,
you know what I mean? Like, say if, like, because I know if I'm having sort of like a tough day, I might be like, I don't want to do that bit of material because I don't feel like I can do that today.
Yes.
Is it like, is there
I
certain
know what
people?
You mean.
Yeah.
I do feel like that with material sometimes, mm-hmm. but with actual singers, I mean, Billie Holiday.
She's got the most depressing voice.
And you know, she had a really tough time, but actually doing her and, I don't know, what she's saying?
I don't know why, but I'm feeling so sad.
It sort of puts things into perspective in a bit because, you know, she was a drug addict and... got raped and had a terrible time and poor and had to go into the back entrance of clubs because she was black and, you know, just terrible, terrible, terrible things that she put up with. And there I am a bit sad because I can't think of what I want to wear for the day or, you know, or I'm upset because someone's been shitty on Twitter or I'm just feeling down, but I'm a white, privileged, middle-class girl, so nothing can be as bad as what she suffered. And so, in a way, it sort of puts things into perspective. Mm-hmm. Does that sound right?
Yeah. Have you got one who's good to do if you're feeling down, that you're like, oh, they're going to bring me up?
Yes.
They're gonna...
Just a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down in the most delightful way.
How can you feel depressed if you're Mary Poppins?
Actually, that sometimes it makes it worse because you're just like, oh, fuck off, you bitch. Just let me do Billie Holiday.
Sim, I don't, Mary.
Mary Poppins with a single tear going around, don't you?
Yeah.
We're going to all have a magic handbag.
There we go. I really wasn't expecting that. That's really made my day. So do you find it just... But if you are having a bad day, you going to do a show, is that something that really brings you back up, or is it something that you can find quite difficult at times?
No, I can find it really difficult. I remember my first tour, I remember really before some of the shows, I didn't want to go on stage at all. And then, of course, I did, and it was fine, and it was fun, and it did lift me up. Mm-hmm. But the thought of going out there and having loads of energy and being all happy was... not a nice one. I just was like, oh god, I was like doing a massive, really difficult poo. Like, just, oh, I can't get through this. And at the end, you feel so much better, don't you?
Feel lighter.
Favorite analogy that's happened on the show as well. That's great.
Sometimes it does really lift you up, though. It really does. And making people laugh and getting that response is just brilliant.
When was the first time you were made aware of mental health actually being a thing, be it positive or negative?
Probably all my life. No, maybe when I was... No, I'll tell you what. Probably I was a tween and my auntie and mum were sitting at the kitchen table talking about antidepressants and which ones they were on. And then I found out my dad was on something as well. And now I'm on something. And we just share. Yeah. Share them. Pick
amazing.
A mix.
Like a little fruit bowl.
Yeah. yes, it was that. And then I spoke to my friend at school. I was on a very, very low dose of something when I was in my early 20s. And I spoke to my old school friend. And turned out he was on something as well, but he'd never told me and I'd never told him. And we were really close, but we'd never broached that. And it's only now that I would admit that I take antidepressants or anti-anxiety. And it probably doesn't... I don't know if it even touches the sides because it's a low dose, but it makes me feel better to know that I'm... I mean, I'm not a scientist at all, and in fact, I'm extremely ignorant, and I won't read any newspapers at all. I'll just let people tell me about things if they want to, but I'd rather do colouring in. But I think sometimes anxiety and depression, it's just a different balance of chemicals in the brain that make you feel a certain way.
I mean, that's a fact. That is exactly what it is.
Oh, good. I'll get my white coat then. Yeah, and so if you've got a slightly different balance and you want to take something to level it out a bit, if the doctor says it's all right, obviously. Yeah, I think that's fine. Mm. And I went to a great therapist guy who really worked hard with me and used my talents and my voices and my characters to help me. So when I'm nervous, I now have to imagine being Liza Minnelli and I step into a magic box and I have to say the magic words, because I had to think of somebody who conjures up just confidence and and a sort of a lust for life. So it's Liza Minnelli and I step into my magic box and I have to do a fist pump downwards so I can really feel it, and I have to say fuck yeah, and that I do that before I go on stage into an audition, or when I'm feeling sad, you step into the box and go fuck yeah, and then you're lighter and you're ready for life.
It's wrong, isn't it?
No, isn't that like a thing? Power poses. That is
yes,
like an
I think
actual
it is
thing.
That.
Yeah.
I think it is that.
Just you've made it so much better.
Because I've put a character and a voice to it.
I was stood for doing a Superman pose for 5 minutes before I did a live talk once and felt like a complete prick. If I'd been doing that, I would have felt great.
Oh, do the fuck yeah. Have a go now. Say it.
Absolutely not.
Fuck yeah! Yeah, I can't. You must. It's wonderful.
We all need to be more Liza.
Everybody needs to be more Liza. Yeah. Or I also had to walk through Edinburgh like Beyonce, because I thought my ex was going to be there. Uh-huh. My ex-husband. He was there. I didn't see him, though, thank God. But the fear of running into him. Mm-hmm. Well, when I was Beyonce strutting along with my shitty backpack on full of flyers and my old trainers, my bunions, I felt like Beyonce. And if I'd seen him, it would have been fine. I would have smashed his car window.
Amazing. How has your relationship with your mental health or the way that you look at misery changed over time?
Ooh.
Yeah, no, that's a good one.
I feel quite proud now. Mm-hmm. I feel proud to be a loony.
I like being
in the club. Yeah, it's great.
Club.
Yeah. There are brilliant people in the club. If I'm in a club that Stephen Fry's in, I'm really happy to be in that club.
Sign me up.
Sign me up for that club and everything that comes with it. It's lovely to talk about it. There's a part of me that still thinks, oh God, my mum might hear this, and she, I don't know whether she'd think that I should be talking about this, and, you know, and there is still a massive part of me that thinks, oh gosh, will this affect my career because people think I'm a loony, or is this going to be, you know, that is a big thing of it. There's still a little small ball of shame in my stomach, but I'm trying to push past it to talk about it.
Would you say it has affected your career at all?
I don't think it has. I hope it hasn't. Oh, no!
Oh, God, what have I done?
What have you done? Where's the wardrobe? I guess it's made me strive to be better, that worry and anxiety. Mm-hmm. So it's made me work harder, but it's also made me berate myself and nothing's ever good enough. I think I've got a much healthier attitude towards mental health now just because I talk about it.
Yeah.
I don't want to feel like I'm being indulgent. That's the thing. I don't want to be wallowing and indulgent and people to think, oh, God, shut up, Jess. Yeah. So, yeah.
I was just about to say, it's like a guide dog. Like, I want to accept that it's there, but I don't want to bother it too much because I know it's got shit to do. So, like...
I really wondered where that was going from.
Oh, I thought you said a gay dog to begin with. Sorry.
I know he's busy and I don't want to touch him. do you talk about your kind of openness about mental health and stuff on your Twitter as well at all? Do you talk about it online, or is it something that you just
kind of...
Do you
know what? I don't. I haven't spoken about it very much publicly. And maybe I should. I feel like people might not want to hear about it, or might think, oh, Jess, we thought you were fun.
Really?
Do you know what I mean?
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we followed you for impressions and jokes.
Yeah,
and
we wanted you to do stupid face swaps and come and see your tour where you're being Judy Garland and idiots and people, and we wanted you to do your rap, or I don't know. Why are you talking about feeling down? We don't want that from you. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. that kind of expectation that you've set of yourself that you expect, that you think other people expect of you.
Yeah, that's made me think I might do a tweet today and see what happens about it.
Okay,
do it as Liza.
That makes me feel quite scared.
Yeah,
yeah.
Because you're obviously open about it in your day-to-day life with your friends and your family and stuff.
Yeah, but on I guess this is a public platform, yeah, isn't it? But mm-hmm. We're in a little room and it's safe and two nice people who are obviously as well. Very broken. I'm joking. But do you know what I mean? I'm really frightened. Yeah. I'm frightened to tweet about it.
Yeah.
What's the past tense of tweet? I twat about my sister. She's got sort of mental health problems and she's got Huntington's and people have been fantastic and really, really lovely about it. So maybe I should. It makes me feel a bit scared and emotional.
No, I wasn't I'm not forcing
Why
you to do
it. Why are you making
I'm
me do it?
Get your phone out, Jess.
But no, I think it might be quite a good thing to do.
I feel like I'm really pushing you.
Will everyone hate me?
I very much doubt it.
This is the whole thing, isn't it? Mm. This is why we should talk about it. Yeah. This is what stops people from talking about it.
Well, like
they're worried that everyone will go, "Oh, Colin, we thought you were the fun one.
Yeah.
We just want you to be cracking the jokes down the pub." Do you know what I mean?
But it's just that realisation that everyone's going through shit like we were talking about earlier. You can't be that, like, life of the party kind of all the time.
No.
That's not, otherwise, you just burn out.
Exactly.
You can't be that. People are happy and people are sad, and you're allowed to be both.
I always worry that people will think it's off-brand.
Yes.
Obviously, I try and keep my Twitter quite, like, light-hearted. And, like, last night, my boyfriend fell asleep on my side of the bed. So I was, like, live-tweeting him being asleep on my side of the bed. And, like, I just try and keep it quite light. So I always worry that if I tweet about mental health, I'm going to be like, oh, this is so off-brand. But the more open I've been about it on stage, I'm like, this is actually very on-brand, Lauren.
Yeah.
Like, they all know you're fucked.
Yeah.
Like, you might as well. And now I always try and do it in a light-hearted way still, but I love now just being comfortable enough to be like I made a joke the other day and I was like, I think I'd mistimed slightly the prescription or something, and so I'd run out of antidepressants.
Oh,
and I was
that
like,
is the worst.
Yeah. I put on Twitter, I was like, how do people function with that? Is this what the world's like? Oh my God. And I was, my main worry is that people will take things at face value and be like, oh God, she's struggling. Oh no, someone call for help. And I'm like, no, I'm just making jokes about it. And most people do. I always tend to do a little disclaimer after, and I'm like, this is a joke, by the way, I'm fine, kiss, kiss, like, totally cool, like, absolutely just making jokes. And I love it now. I love just being able to be like, yeah, I'm fine. I'm having a giggle at my broken brain. It's all right.
That's the way I treat it as well. Like we were saying earlier, I laugh about mine because it makes it feel smaller and I can just deal with it a bit more.
Did you see my one about the panic attack the other day? I had a panic attack on, you'll know this with gigging, I'd missed my train was delayed, so I'd missed the connection.
Oh,
and it took ages to get there. I'd been, like, sort of stranded. I was having a panic and I had such an intense panic attack that I thought it was a heart attack and I was going to die. And the first place my brain went is, you haven't written a will, who'll get your money? And then I got so panicked that I don't have a will that I had a second fucking panic attack. And then I had a note on my phone that I'd clearly written in the panic, and in order it said, the kids... animal charity, Matt, ? Who's my boyfriend? And I was like, why does your brain go to these places?
Oh,
like, and again,
really
I tweeted about it and I was like, I hope people take that with a pinch of like humour rather than being like, oh God. And most people did. And like, you get the balance of some people being genuinely supportive and compassionate and the other people being like, I got you. Like, we've all been there. And I'm like, oh. It is good just to get that off your chest and be like...
The worst panic attack I had, and I haven't had them very often, but this was the panic attack to end all panic attacks. I was outside, I just was with a guy that I was dating and we'd had a Thai meal and I was having a real panic attack and I sort of collapsed down the wall a bit and an enormous fart came out. Just the biggest, smelliest, most awful fart. I thought, fuck, I hope he thinks it's the drains. It was so awful. And that sort of, it was almost like smelling salts. It sort of shocked me out of the attack. I've never told anyone that. Oh, I hope he's not listening now, although it wasn't the drains, it was my bum.
Just trying to style it out, like, this restaurant smells, we will never come back here.
Isn't that awful?
That's amazing. That's fantastic.
Oh, it just went, you know, as you slide down the wall with your back to the wall.
Like releasing air like from that. A balloon.
Yeah. Yeah. Really, it was terrible. Just awful. Oh, dear.
Well, we've got about 5 minutes left, so...
well, I think we've peaked.
We've definitely peaked.
Let's just hope that we don't peak in this tiny room.
You're not allowed to get lean against the wall at any point.
No. God knows what'll happen. I did feel very lightheaded. It must have been all the air. All the air went from my head to my bum. You think I'm surprised it didn't propel me back up the wall again.
It's not me, it's you. It's floating away.
Oh, dear.
Oh, definitely peaked. This is,
this is terrible.
Okay, last question. Mm-hmm. Oh, do you want to do the last question as well?
Okay.
Oh.
So, if you could go back to, like, your younger self and give some advice on, like, mental health and living sort of without misery, what would you say to yourself?
Don't try and be like the other people at school. Don't try and be like anybody else. Mm-hmm. It's really hard. I would just say try and stay true to yourself and, it sounds like such wank, but go with what feels good for you and try and really be honest with yourself and treat yourself like your own best friend. That's a really good one.
Mm.
And speak to yourself in your head the way that you would speak to your friend. So, and you would never say to your friend, oh God, you're such a stupid bitch, or you look really fat today, or, you know, that's not good enough, or no wonder you didn't get the part, you're too ugly, or whatever, I don't know. You just wouldn't say that, would you? You'd be, well, if you did, you wouldn't be friends, would you? Mm. Hopefully. Yeah, so speak to yourself in a really encouraging way. A therapist once said to me, even find, like, what do you call your friend? And I said, babe, or something, and he was like, okay, we'll just say, well, but it was Australian. We'll just say, you know, well done, babe, you're doing really well today. So that's what I say in my head now.
I like that.
I call myself babe. It's a bit, I mean, that was before it was really ethics, babe. My babe. Do you know what I mean? But
no, that's wonderful.
Yeah, speak to yourself in your head because you hear. You know, your brain hears you. Mm-hmm. That's a stupid thing to say, but you know what I mean.
That's absolutely
wonderful.
Your
thoughts are important.
Your thoughts are things, aren't they? So be kind. Speak kindly to yourself. Amazing. And encourage yourself.
Don't be a shit pal of yourself.
Yeah. No. Just don't be a cunt.
Yeah. There we go. Done. Yeah. Nailed it.
Will you beep that out?
No. Keeping
okay,
that
good.
In.
I'll tell my mum to definitely listen.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
That was
thank
wonderful.
You.
Yes.
That was brilliant.
We hope you can take something from this podcast away with you in your day-to-day life. Whatever situation you're in, you're not by yourself. We can share our stories, share our experiences, and we can help each other know that things do get better.
And that was episode 13. Thank you to Jess for channeling the spirit of Liza so perfectly. And if you wanted to see Jess in real life, you can see her perform her new show at this year's Edinburgh Fringe Festival. Thanks to Lauren, obviously. I mean, she's the funny one. Without her, this would just be really terrible. Thanks to Dave and Calm for letting us make this silly little podcast. And thanks to you for all your lovely reviews, the lovely tweets you've been sending Lauren and myself, and for listening. And just for being you. Thank you for being you. Anyway, we'll be back next week. Yeah, that's it. Bye, 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 bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
spin your passion into a business with Shopify and break sales records with the world's best converting checkout. Let's hear that one more time. The world's best converting checkout. Shopify's legendary checkout makes it easier for customers to shop on your website, across social media, and everywhere in between. Now that's music to your ears. Any way you spin it, you can be a smash hit with Shopify. Start your dollar a month trial today at shopify.com/records.
Would you give your mum, dad, aunt, or that uncle who hugged your partner a little too long free access to your phone?
Oh, no!
Oh, my God, it's a really long video. Ew!
In Dave's brand new YouTube original, Get Off My Phone, we've got six comedians to give their phones over to a relative with total freedom to read messages, DMs, photos, and browser history.
Where's your search history?
Sorry?
What to do, tips for relief.
The rules are simple. Their relative can read anything they want and even make calls from the comedian's phone.
What is this?
I don't want this one.
That looks really bad.
Starring Tanya Moore, Anya Magliano, Finlay Christie, Travis J with his mum Angie Lamar, Hayley Morris, Grace Campbell and dad Alistair Campbell.
Slightly sexually compromising people.
Divulging their deepest digital secrets.
What the hell is happening?
Get Off My Phone, a Dave YouTube original. Available now on Dave's YouTube channel.